Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vedavyasa Vrindavan Das Thakur, Chapter 13, The Deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. We're in Mayapur 500 years ago, in the house of Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya. And yesterday we heard Vrindavan Das Thakur was explaining the power of simply speaking the name, Ayi. Ayi in Bengali means Mata, Mother. Simply by speaking this, or repeating this word, Ayi, then all material miseries can be destroyed. Interesting. He said, even if one utters this Ayi as a mundane word, which means mundane means not thinking of Mother Shachi and not connecting this Ayi to the mother of Lord Gauranga, simply saying Ayi. By the influence of the word Ayi, one will be freed from all sufferings. Text 375, chapter 13. Putrer Sri Mukadeki, Ayi Jagan Mata, Nija Deya Ayi Nahi, Jane Achikota. On seeing the face, the lotus face of her son, Sachi Nandan, Mother Sachi, the mother of the universe, Jagan Mata, forgot where she was. While seeing the lotus face of Sri Gaura Sundar, Mother Sachi forgot herself. Being bewildered by the beauty of the Lord's face, she even forgot her motherly sentiments and her parental affection for her son. So, although she's always situated in her sthayibhav, her permanent loving mood toward Lord Gauranga as her beloved son, somehow when she was seeing the beauty, Sri Mukha Deki, the Sri Mukha, a beautiful lotus-like face, a lotus face of her son, she became completely, she forgot everything, even forgot her bhav. Vishambara chalilena karite shayan takana vidhaya haya gupte devagan. When Vishambara went to sleep, the demigods would secretly take leave. Actually, the demigods disguised, the devatas would come, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Varun, Kuber, they would descend to Mayapur and adopt the form of Brahmins and Brahmanis. They would come with their wives also. And they would appear in Manush Rup, in human form. And they would come and visit Mother Shachi, and they would associate and have darshan of Nimai Pandit Vishambara. And then when the Lord would take rest in the evening time, then they would go back to their heavenly abodes, secretly take leave, gupte devagan, chaturmukha panchamukha adi devagan, niti asi chaitanjara karaje sevan. The demigods headed by Brahma, Chaturmukh, and the five-headed Shiva would come daily to serve Lord Chaitanya. So they weren't coming with their five heads. Lord Shiva is Panchamukh. We have Panchamukh Hanuman and Panchamukh Shiva. Actually, Hanuman and Shiva are related tattvas. Hanuman is considered one expansion of Shiva in terms of tattva. His mother and father, that's a different story, but this is the idea. That's why there's Panchamukh Hanuman and there's Panchamukh Shiva. So Panchamukh Shiva would come, but with one head, Ekmukh, Ekshir, as a Brahmin, Nara, Nara Rup, Nara Lila, human-like form, and Chaturmukh, four-faced Brahma. He would also come with one face. But this is who they were. Vrindavan Das Thakur understood their identity, and he's explaining that they would come. They would come every day to serve Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Seva. Dekite na paya iha keya agyavine se prabhu anugrahe bale karostane. Without the Lord's sanction, no one could see the demigods. Only one who is favored by the Lord can speak to others about this. So obviously, Vrindavan Das Thakur is favored by Lord Vishambhar because he's telling us about this Leela. Kondina vasiya takaye Vishambhar samoke aila matra kon anuchar. One day when Vishambhar was sitting in his house, some of his associates came before him. Hoy kane taka prabhu bhalaye apane chari panchamukha gula lotaya angane. Vishambhar told them, wait there. He said, wait. While the four-headed and five-headed personalities rolled on the ground in the courtyard. So it's interesting because Lord Chaitanya was seeing them as they really were, Panchamukha and Chaturmukha. But the other residents of Mayapur, unless they were particularly favored by Lord Chaitanya, they could only see them as other brahmanas. It says here that the Brahma and Shiva were rolling in the courtyard. They're rolling on the ground in the courtyard of Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya could see that. So he understood, yes, this is Brahma. Because there's no one in this world, in this earth planet, that has four heads, or five heads for that matter. Padiya achaye jata nahi leka joka tomara sabhere ki gulane de deki. No one could estimate how many personalities there were. Mahaprabhu said, don't you recognize these persons? Kara joda kari bhale sava bhaktagan Chibhuvane Kari Prabhu Tamara Sevan. All the devotees replied to Lord Vishambhar with folded hands. O Prabhu, the inhabitants of the three worlds serve you. Amara Sabarakon Shakti Dekibhar Bine Prabhu Tumidile Dristi Adhikar. What power do we have to see? Only you can give us the ability to see. E Sabadbhuta Chaitan Jera Gupta Kata Sarva Siddhi Haya Iha Shunile Sarvata. These confidential pastimes, Gupta Kata, of Chaitanya are most wonderful, Adbhuta. If one hears them, he will achieve all perfection. This is an easy way to attain perfection. Here, of course, here with faith, we believe it, that we actually believe that 500 years ago, Shiva and Brahma came to Mayapur in West Bengal, Navadvip Dham. And they visited, every day they visited Lord Chaitanya, came to his house, and they also went to Shiva Sangam. And they would witness the pastimes of the Lord and then leave. I don't know if they were in Shiva Sangam because they would leave in the evening time. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, simply hearing about these pastimes, we achieve all perfection. Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Ihate Sandeya Kichu Naba Vihat Mane Aja Bhava Niti Aise Gorangera Stane. Do not maintain any doubts. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva would daily come to see Gauranga. It seems that although this is a description that Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving us about the regular visitations of the devatas to the home of Lord Chaitanya, although they were disguised, Lord Chaitanya could see that they were Brahma and Shiva, etc. Panchamukh Shiva, the most extraordinary form of Shiva, Panchamukh Shiva and Chaturmukh Brahma, and they would leave after doing seva, serving the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, do you see them? He asked his associates, do you see these personalities? And all of his associates, they folded their hands and said, we really don't see them, but we believe it. And you're seeing them. Because they, as I mentioned, they were disguised as Brahmins, but Lord Chaitanya was seeing through their disguise and seeing that they're actually the devatas, the primary rulers of the higher planets, Shiva and Brahma. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur is detecting some doubt in the audience or the readers, so he's saying, don't keep any doubts. It's really a fact. It's really true. Because we may read this book 500 years later and think, how is it that Brahma and Shiva are coming to Navadvip? but we accept it. This is faith, Kshatriya Shraddha. We believe that Vedavyas has appeared as Vrindavan Das Thakur, that same Vedavyas. And we believe what he's saying, because what position do we have to doubt it? We're not there. It's 500 years later, so we see by faith. By faith we can see the reality of the Shastra. We accept it. Acceptance. And it's not blind faith. Blind faith is illogical or unreasonable. This is reasonable faith. Reasonable or logical faith. That if in fact, first of all, we accept that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Radha and Krishna Yugal. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna Nahi Anya. He's none other than Radha and Krishna. Then once we establish that ontological fact of the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being Krishna, the Kali Yuga avatar of the Lord and his consort or his energy, Shakti Shaktiman, then actually, of course, all of his ministers and secondary servitors would come for his darshan. That makes sense. So this is reasonable and logical to accept on the basis of the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hinamate jagai madhai paritran karila Sri Gaurachandra jagatera pran. In this way, Sri Gaurachandra, the life and soul of the universe, delivered jagai and madhai. Sabhara karibe Gaurachandra se udhar. Vyatirikta vaishnav nindaka durachar. Gaurachandra will deliver everyone except those persons who blaspheme Vaishnavas. So here we go again. This is a repeated message. Like we say, good things bear repetition. So we eat a rasgulla, and it tastes very good. And someone a week later says, would you like a rasgulla? Oh no, I had one time. I ate once in my life, that's enough. No, we say, yes, that was quite good. That was Ras Bihari's Mahaprasad. It was unbelievable, extraordinary. Yes, yeah, please, I gladly accept your offer. So it's repetition, you're repeating, because it's a good thing. So this apparently is a very good message for all of us to hear repeatedly, the severe dangers of blaspheming or ridiculing or finding fault with the Vaishnavas. So this is Vedavyas. Remember, who's speaking, who's teaching us here? This Chaitanya Bhagavat has all the importance, or even more in one sense, but all the importance and significance and value of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What the Srimad Bhagavatam is and is for the Kali Yuga, then you can say this Chaitanya Bhagavat is their sister shastras. They go hand in hand. Because one is about Radha and Krishna, and this is about Gauranga. Gauranga is Radha and Krishna. So Gauranga's Leela and Charitra are described in Chaitanya Bhagavat and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Radha and Krishna's Leelas are described, or at least it culminates, the Bhagavatam culminates in that description in Dasama Skanda. So Vedavyas describes Radha and Krishna, then Vedavyas, who else can describe Radha and Krishna but Vedavyas? So then he comes as Vrindavan Das Thakur and describes the Leela. So he's warning us and reminding us the Vaishnav Nindaka Durachar. He's a very bad behavior. Durachar, a very bad behavior to be a Vaishnav Nindak. And Gaurachandra's Udhar, his welfare, he will not extend his mercy to such an offender. Shulapani Samajadi Bhakta Nindakare Bhagavata Pramana Tata Piha Shigramare. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, now the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam is quoting his book. Vrindavan Das Thakur is speaking these verses, and he's saying, according to my other book, have you read my other book? Oh yes, we read your other book. That was a bestseller. That Srimad Bhagavatam was a bestseller. I really like that. Now I was very eager to read your new book. Yes, yes, I you'd enjoy. You learned something. So he's saying, well, in my other book, in my previous book, in Canto 5, Chapter 10, Verse 25, I am telling, even if someone is on the level of Lord Shiva, Shulapani Sama, that one who holds a shula, tree shula, pani means hand, he's holding Sama means someone who's equal to Shulapani Sama, someone who's equal to or on the level of the Trishul Dhara, the person who's holding the Trishul, then, and he does Bhakta Ninda, even if someone on the level, doesn't say Lord Shiva, but someone on that level, means extremely exalted Vaishnava, if he blessings a devotee, he will soon be destroyed. So it isn't that only neophytes are subject to blessing or Vaishnava Nindaka, but even an advanced devotee that's not completely advanced, he may fall prey to the perils of Vaishnava Nindak. That's what he's indicating here. Because this is not an ordinary level to be Shulapani Sama, to be equal to that on that level. Was how does Vrindavan Das Thakur describe the position of Lord Shiva? Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. That he's such a great Vaishnava, Lord Shambhu, Shankar, Bhagavan. He is, in one sense, it's Bhagavan worshipping himself, because Anantashesh expands as Shiva, and then Shiva worships Anantashesh, Sankarshan. So it's kind of interesting tattva. But he's saying, it goes this far. Because first he says, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Lord Chaitanya will deliver anyone except an offender, an Nindak. Then he says, someone might say, well, that applies simply to a neophyte, or not a very advanced person. So this is, now he's saying, this is Mahad Vimanat Swakritad Di Madrin Nakshyat Yadhurad Api Shulapani. I suppose this is a Bengali version of this verse from Bhagavatam, because it's in quotations. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Basically, when we hear such descriptions or warnings about the severity of this rather negative behavior, Vaishnava Nindak, of Saruninda, which is one of the offenses to the holy name, then we have to think about what is our response to this input. How do we respond to this information technology? So this is some technical information about the nuances of sadhana, bhakti. This is a very important consideration. If one follows the path of Raj Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, there's never any considerations about these type of points, because that is a solo path. It's just you and your asanas, and you and your pranayama, and you and your dhyanam and meditation. So there's no interaction. You go to a lonely place, you go alone to a cave in Himalayas and practice brahmacharya, far from the din of the cities of the world, and it's just you challenging your mind and trying to control your mind and senses and fix them on the Supreme in whatever way you've realized the Supreme to be, either impersonal Brahman or the all-pervading Paramatma, Super Soul. So, but in the Vaishnava conception, there is a world of Vaishnavas. Vaishnava Raja Sabha. There's a glorious association of devotees. In the spiritual world, Krishna is never alone. Vishnu is never alone. Narayana is never alone. Rama is never alone. He's always surrounded by his devotees. So learning how to deal and cooperate with one another, cooperation, sacrifice, appreciation, gratitude, harmony, these are the watchwords of the spiritual reality. And if people are non-social and independent and self-made personalities, and they're isolationists, they won't fare very well in the spiritual world. Because it's a society, it's a parivar, it's a gotra, a chuta gotra, the whole parivar is a vast, unlimited family of devotees, all integrated and harmoniously working together for the center, for the pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, there's so many dealings. We have to learn how to live together in harmony. The Prabhupada often talked about the United Nations. There cannot be any unity unless there's unity of purpose or unity of consciousness. You have your purpose or interest and I have mine, so then there's a clash, there's conflict. Every year another flag they add to the United Nations. Another country divides. India becomes two countries or three countries and four countries. So it's like this. So these reminders, because Vrindavan Das Thakur is actually trying to prepare our mentality, prepare our mentality on this plane, the plane of sadhana. We're on the plane of sadhana, attempting to come to the Siddha platform, attempting for perfection. We are striving for perfection of the human form, to realize God and enter into His eternal lila. It's called lila, Nitya Lila Pravesh. And those accomplished spiritual personalities who have attained perfection, they are described after their departure as Nitya Lila Pravishta. Right? Sri Srimad. Nitya Lila Pravishta. They have entered into the Nitya Lila. But to qualify for entrance into the Nitya Lila, one must have the adhikar, or the eligibility, which means a harmonious, purified, integrated heart. We have to fit in with the spiritual world. It means we have to fit in with the society of devotees. It's not that we go up there and we'll have our own private little kunj and we'll just stay there and we'll do bhajan and nam-bhajan. And when we feel like mixing up with someone, we'll come out and say, hello, how's everything? And, I want to be alone today. I want to stay in my apartment today, and I'm not coming out, and it's a little cloudy today, and I don't feel very well. I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to school. It's not like this. It's everyone's moving 24 hours a day. Yashoda and Nanda and Subal and Sridham and Lalita and Vishaka and Radharani. Everyone's moving. It's like a vast, busy ant farm or honey hive of a beehive. They're always moving and carrying something, doing something, flying here or there, bringing nectar, this and that, fanning the beehive and cooling off the queen bee. And there's so many. Something of activity. I forget. Busy as a bee is nothing, but it's something of activity. It's a beehive of activity or something like that. They have a phrase like this. Beehive. Beehive means madhukar. It's madhumaki. Honeybee, madhumaki. Honeybee, they're very busy. So the spiritual world, everyone's very busy and working with each other and Krishna's in the center and they're always either with Krishna directly and serving Him directly, hands-on, or they're not with Him and they're planning for service, or they're talking about service or talking about Him. So it's a very... And there's so much beauty in the relationships and so much sweetness and exchanges. We can't even imagine. So one by one, the acharyas, the mahajans of Shastra, they're trying to create or trying to mold through their teachings, through their instructions, they're trying to mold a certain type of consciousness within us, within the reader, within the sadhaka, within the devotee. They're trying to create and carve and mold a spiritual heart, a spiritual consciousness, which is free from envy and appreciate, is full of appreciation, gratitude, and harmonious feelings and interrelationships with one another. But it's unbelievable how many times he talks about offenses, and you almost feel, if you regularly read Chaitanya Bhagavat, you feel, all right already. I got the message. Or did I get the message? I got the message, or did I get the message? Because I put down the book, and the next minute I say, hey, you stupid! or whatever. And so I haven't gotten the message. Like, you take the medicine, the doctor says, take this medicine, dawa, for 1 month and come back. And you come back, and he checks your temperature, inquires from you about your symptoms. And he says, hey, you have to take more medicine. Oh, no. Yes, another month. Yes, your symptoms have diminished somewhat, but there's still chance to relapse, and you're not quite completely cured yet. You have to run another one month course of medicine. All right. So it seems the doctor of the soul, Vrindavanadas Thakur, is the universal doctor of our souls, and we're submitting to his medical treatment. And we're reading his diagnosis, and he keeps, every time he reads our report, we submit our medical report, and he reviews it, and he says, oh, okay, back again. He says, oh, offenses again. I know some people, they read this book, and they said, I couldn't deal with it. I'm always reminded of this offensive stuff. But it bears repetition. It's a good thing. It bears repetition. Until once we learn the lesson, then we'll say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm okay. I'm doing fine. So this is a point that's being told here. Here we go. Hena Vaishnav Ninde Jari Sarvagyahai Sejanera Adapat Sarvashastrikai. In all scriptures, Sarvashastra, it is stated that if an all-knowing person, so you can be on the level of Shiva, so powerful and influential, and be a powerful Vaishnava, or you can be a Sarvagya, be a Chaturvedi, Mahamandaleshwara, Jagat Guru, Sarva, Chaturvedi, be a Shastra Vidvan, Sarvagya, you know everything, all-knowing, Sarvagya, Sarvagyan means all-knowing. You can be, but adhapat. You can be an all-knowing person, but if we do Vaishnav Ninda, he will certainly fall down. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says in his purport, even after achieving all perfection, a person who criticizes a Vaishnava certainly falls down. This is the verdict of all scriptures. So, of course, that when he's saying all perfection, that would have to be considered what type of perfection Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is alluding to. Because our perfection, the perfection of our prayojana perfection in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the perfection is prema. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining Madhurya Kadambini that when one attains, when one becomes situated and fixed in Krishna prema, then there's at that level, there's no chance for falling down or offending. But even at the level of bhava, the preliminary level of bhava, there's still a chance for this particular point. It's not that our the level of bhava, we'll be free, of course, anartha nivritti, lust, anger, greed, all this will be gone, and the substratum of our existence, our subtle body, will be practically 100% purified. But he's saying that there's the level of bhav, there may be a ganda, aparad ganda, a fragrance of the fragrance of the possibility of committing an aparad. And the analogy is given like this. Someone gives us a very opulent and beautiful fresh maha rose garland of Vrindavan roses. And I don't know if anyone knows, a rose is not a rose. There's some poem, a rose is a rose is a rose. But that does not apply to Vrindavan gulab. There's Mumbai roses and there's Delhi roses and so many roses, but the roses in Vrindavan are unique. They're special. Because they're grown on the banks of the Yamuna, right in the shade of Madan Mohan's lotus feet. And Dwadasa Aditya Tila, Madan Mohan is reigning there with his leelas, and his shadow, the shade of his feet, is falling on these rose gardens on the bank of the Jamuna. And moreover, the air is carrying the pollen particles and the dust from the feet of Madan Mohan and Rasvihari dancing in Seva Kunj Nidivan. So all of that falls on the leaves of the roses, goes into the soil, and it's Jamuna herself, all the water there is Jamuna. So when those roses, when you buy those roses in Vrindavan and offer them to the deities, there's unbelievable smell. It's so beautiful. Has anyone ever smelled a Vrindavan rose? Is it something extraordinary? Is it matchless and much different than any other rose you've smelled? This is a fact. So I gave some reasons. It's the touch of transcendence that has transformed these roses, these Vrindavan flowers, to be something special. In the Vav stage, Vishnath's saying that, so I'm wearing the, so somehow I get this fresh Maha garland, Shamsundar's Mahaprasad. They offer and then somehow another one comes and they give one. So I'm very fortunate, I receive. And I come in this room and I'm sitting here for a half hour and then I leave with my garland or Krishna's prasad, mala. But the fragrance is so powerful and so potent that ganda, gulab ganda, is still pervading this room. So you come in later and you say, smells like roses. There's no roses to be seen. There's no petals, there's no garland. But the effect is there, the influence, the prabhav. So the level of bhav, at the level of bhava bhakti, in the beginning level, there's still some fragrance of aparad, the possibility to fall down because of this. Not fall down because of lust, anger, greed, envy, all these things. Well, envy and aparad are kind of related. But it says specifically the gross aparad, all this is gone. I mean the gross sinful reactions and prabdha, everything's gone. But this tendency, but at the level of prem, it's not there. So when Bhakti Sanat is saying that when one attains, he's saying here that one attains perfection, even after achieving all perfection, a person who criticizes Vaishnava would certainly fall down. That would be the, in terms of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that would be the perfection of bhava, which is certainly a level of perfection, because it's a precursor of prema. But it can also apply to any other line, perfection in yoga, perfection in other lines of spiritual pursuit. You may be very knowledgeable and very expert and sarvagya and a siddha yogi and full control of your senses. But by chance, if you become angry, because oftentimes these all-knowing siddhas, they're siddhas, they're all-knowing, they're siddhas in non-Vaishnava lines, they are subject to some anger. And we see that in throughout the history of the Shastras. Was Durvasa Muni a Siddha Yogi and Sarvagya Yogi? Yes, no doubt about that. He did not attain perfection. If he didn't attain perfection, how can he fly all over the universe? You can fly over the universe just by taking a one-hour TM course? Not possible. So he was Sarvagya, but then he made offense to Ambarish. It's there in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. Everyone knows the story. And there's countless stories like this. People offending Ashtavakra Muni and all these different stories are there. So this is how Vrindavan Das Thakur chooses to conclude the chapter. And it's a very interesting and exciting chapter that we'll start maybe today. Next chapter is chapter 14, which is Yamaraj's Sankirtan. That's a very, some humor is there and some very serious discussions also. So now he goes on, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Sarva Maha Prayaschitta Je Krishnara Naam Vaishnavaparade Seha Na Milaye Tran. Krishna's name, which is the Sarva Maha Prayaschitta, the supreme of all forms of atonement, this is the Maha, the ultimate atonement. Even this does not deliver one who offends a Vaishnava. So this is a problem. I was reading this morning in the Bhagavatam that wherever the devotee goes, the Lord follows him. The Lord follows him. And the wind, when the Lord is walking behind his devotee, and when the wind is blowing some of the dust from the feet of the Lord, and that dust goes in front of the devotee. The dust from the feet of the Lord goes, this I think it was 11th canto I was reading. And the dust from the feet of the Lord goes in front of his devotee. And then that dust falls on the feet of the devotee. The dust from the feet of the Lord, Krishna. Because that is our Ishtadev. And so therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti is explaining that when we offend a devotee, Vaishnava Ninda, blessing a devotee, then it says he may forgive, but the dust of his feet doesn't forgive. Because the dust of his feet is actually the dust from the feet of Krishna, which has been blown forward by the wind and collected on his feet. And it says also it collects on his feet and it goes before him. So the dust particles, the charanduli from Krishna or Vishnu, goes before the devotee and purifies his path and purifies his life and protects him. So that's why the only way for prayaschitta is not by Krishna Nam. Although it is a sarva maha prayaschitta. Sarva maha prayaschitta ye Krishna Nam. This Krishna Nam is the supreme of all forms. It is the greatest, the ultimate maha prayaschitta. It's the maha mantra. So you can, in one sense, you say, why is it the maha mantra? Because it is maha prayaschitta. This is what our Vedavyasa is saying. Maha prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means atonement or annulment. If something bad you do this, you become it becomes reduced, and the reaction becomes reduced. Annulment, atonement, pacification. So that's why the Vaishnava Parad, the only way to be forgiven is not by Krishna, but to fall at the feet of the Vaishnava and beg the dust of his feet, please forgive me for my offense. And then when the dust of the feet, which ultimately is Krishna, forgives you, then you're rectified, you're exonerated from that reaction. That is the only prayaschitta which will remove that grievous offense of offending Vaishnava. Vishnath is very interesting when you read, Vishnu says, the devotee may forgive you, but the dust of his feet doesn't forgive you. Unless and until we say, oh, please forgive me. I offended you. That's not enough. He says, oh, it's okay. You have to submit pranipantena, lie in the dust of his feet, and render service to him, and beg him, please forgive me. So then, being compassionate and kind-hearted, the Vaishnava, yes, it's okay. So this is an interesting point to consider. Padma Puranera e Paramavachan Prima Bhakti Haiya Karile Palan. One who honors the following confidential words of the Padma Puran will attain ecstatic love of God. Oh, this is interesting. This is actually in the Padma. First of all, the why Vedavyasa is mentioning, or Vrindavanadas Thakur is mentioning Padma Puran, because he himself, who wrote the Padma Puran, in the Padma Puran is where we find the Sanskrit description of the 10 offenses of the holy name. There's not 11, there's 10. Bhaktivinoda Thakur added 11, and I took the liberty to add a 12th one. I hope no mind. I mean, it's just my own. It's not really, I don't have any liberty to do it, but what is the 11th offense against the holy name? Be inattentive while chanting the holy name. So this is, you could say, a sub-branch. This is 11a. So that way maybe it's okay to add a sub-branch. But the actual Padma Puran, where Vedavyasa is describing these offenses, there are only 10. And they're listed there. And he, Vrindavanadas Thakur, is about to quote this verse. So the 11a is, what is 11a? No, 11 is inattentive. So what is 11a? 11a, this is some idea. I mean, it's not official, it's not Shastric or anything. But it's, because with the changing times, we have to modify the Shastras. Padma Puran says 10 offenses, not 11. In other Vaishnava lines, they only observe 10 offenses. In Ramanuja, etc., they follow Padma Puran. There's 10 offenses. They have 10 offenses. We have 11. We, followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya, we have 11. How we got 11? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur added it. And we accept him as the seventh Goswami, as our Mahajan, Acharya. So this is 11a. So, and that's, whether we accept it or not, that's another thing. But we try to encourage our followers to at least follow this, because it's another way to reduce the tendency for distraction. So 11a is to leave one's cell phone on in any mode, the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, no, in any mode, silent or rumbling or grumbling or whatever. Well, what are the modes? They jump, rumble, vibration mode, silent mode, singing mode, jumping mode, skipping mode, any kind of mode, while chanting the holy name of Krishna, japa. So that means completely sub-bandhogya. Off, completely off. No messages, no anything. Off. O-F-F. Off. Can you do it? Yes. Who can do it? Raise your hand. One person, two person. I know it's so difficult. People are going through the bends, you know, to do this. So this is how crazy we become. We can't imagine of life before the cell phone. It's like there's BC before Christ, and there's BC before Christ, and AD, right? It's called AD. But then there's LBC, life before cell phones. You know? I mean, Daddy, you didn't grow up with a cell phone? How did you live? How did you go to school, and how did you eat, and how could you live without a cell phone? I can't imagine. You know, that's what it's like now. It's like your great-great-grandfather from the village says, yes, when I grew up, we never had a telephone. You never had a telephone. How did you have 10 children? And how did you feed them? And how did you educate them? And how did you marry all of them? You had 5 daughters and 5 sons. And you didn't have a telephone to do all that? Wow, you must be an avatar. I mean, it's like we create something and then we become a slave and dependent on that creation. It's a really absurd world we live in. But anyway, I'm glad to see that a lot of people leave their cell phones off, and I would like to encourage others to do the same. Make a sankalpa, New Year's sankalpa. I'm off. We're only asking for 2 hours out of 24, or 2.5, or whatever. Now, what are these? Now he's telling us he's really giving, like freely giving out ashirvad. Everyone goes to a sadhu and says, please give me your blessings, please give me your mercy, ashirvad, this, that, the other thing. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is really in the spirit of mercy. Practically every 50 verses or 20 verses, he's saying, do this and get that. Buy one, get one free. Right? He's really giving wonderful sales here. He's very kind. You buy one, you get one free. He's saying, if you study this verse, you get ecstatic love of God. If you hear this chapter, you get ecstatic love. So, wow, I've collected so much ecstatic love of God, I don't know what to do with it. Because he's been off. Every time he's offering ecstatic love of God, after I read 10 pages, after I read 100 pages, I have like a really huge stock of ecstatic love of God. He says, you hear this passage, you get ecstatic love of God. But somehow or other, it's going right by me. I don't know. He's distributing it, but it's going right by me. And there's 3 reasons for that. One is, there's 3 conditions we must have to receive the benediction of Shastra. One is Shraddha, faith. One is Ichha, Shraddha, Ichha, and Nirapuradi. These are the 3 criterion required to receive the fall or the benefit of Shastra. We must really want it. That's called Ichha, desire. Do you want this benefit? Do you want this benediction, Ashava, that's being offered to you? Just like sometimes people come and say, oh, please give me your blessings. You know, we've been married for so long, please give us blessings. Whatever you think is best for our family. Yes, I'll give you your blessings that your husband takes sannyas. Wait a minute, Swamiji, wait a minute. I don't really desire that, but just give me a blessing that my grandchildren pass their exams. So, Ichha is bod kam hai. So when ichha, it says if you bathe once in Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, well, Rupa Goswami himself is saying in Nectar of Instruction, Prema, he says, Shana Snatur Avis, Shana Snatur Prema Vishkaroti. He says, even if you take one bath in Radhakund, then Prema, what kind of Prema? Gopi Prema, Gopika Prema, will Avishkaroti, will arise in your heart by one bath. Well, what happened? I've taken 20,000 baths. Nothing's happened. I mean, it says it will rise in your heart. That's the problem. I'm taking 20,000 baths, but there's one thing I forgot. I don't have a heart. So prema can't rise in my heart because first I have to get a heart, and then I can try to raise the prema in the heart. So these three things. One is ichha. Do you really want this? Oh yeah, it sounds good. I don't mind. I would like to have Krishna prema. That's a nice thing. I do. I desire Krishna prema. Oh, yes. Is that all? No, that all? What do you mean? I mean, so many things I want. That's on the list. It's definitely on the list that I want Krishna prema. But I want a new house, and I want a new car, you know, just more bangles, and you know, I want a lot of things. I mean, they're all Krishna conscious things, of course. But I want them. And I really need them. So we have bhavashaka. We have so many desires. But if this is our all-consuming desires, only this, I have no other desire, that's the first criterion to get the full benefit of what's being offered. Ichha. And the second, and maybe even most important, or one of the most important, is faith. Shraddha. Do we actually believe it? Ah, come on, what is this? It's an exaggeration. You're simply exaggerating to encourage me to do something good. It's just like my mother. She exaggerates something. Yeah, if you do this, I'll give you this and that. So then you do it and say, what about, oh, well, you know. She falls short. So the exaggerations, people sometimes say that, oh, these shastras have all these inflated benedictions and all these great offerings. That's just an exaggeration to get the lowest of person to do something good. Because you think, oh, I get all these benefits. Oh, goody, goody. Let me do something. So your faith is not pure. You don't believe it. You're a Shastra Nindak. You're an offender of the Shastra. You don't believe it. So therefore, minimal result. Some result, but minimal. Then the last thing, you have to be near aparadi. You have to be free from offenses. So sometimes people argue, well, if you're on that level, if you're free from offenses, and you only have one desire, and have pure faith, then you're already advanced. You don't need to do anything. That argument can be given. But still, these, even if you're on that level, you can still receive. It doesn't mean that you're on the level of Krishna Prema. You're still eligible to receive some very lofty and exalted benedictions, such as this one. He's saying that one who honors Padma Purana Parama Vachan Prema Bhakti Haiya Karile Palan. One who honors the following confidential words of Padma Puran will attain ecstatic love of Godhead. And what he's done is the Sanskrit verse, it's here actually. This is the Sanskrit verse from Padma Puran, which describes the first offense. Satam ninda namna paramam apararam vitanute yata kyatim yatam katam usahate tavig. Vigaram. To blaspheme the great saintly persons who are preaching the glories. There's a slightly adjusted translation here, but it's not exactly word for word, but the translator has given his idea. To blaspheme the great saintly persons who are preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. The Naam Prabhu. Acha. Yeah, no, it's there. Satam ninda namna paramam apararam. That's correct. The Naam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even for one who passes as a great devotee. So this is, he concludes his discussion here, and then he goes back to the storyline, which is again a reminder about this, that the name won't do it. We can't blaspheme devotees and sit down and chant Hare Krishna all day and night. The offense is with the Vaishnava, and the rectification is with the Vaishnava. And the holy name is the observer, the Shakshi. Ye shunye maha dasyura udhar tare udariba kora chandra avatar. One who hears this narration regarding the deliverance of the two rogues, Jagai Mahadasyura, the two rogues will be delivered, Jagai Madai, will be delivered by Sri Gaurachandra. Brahmadaitya Tarana, Goranga Jaya Jaya, Karuna Sagar Prabhu Parama Sadai. All glories to Goranga who delivered the two Brahmana demons. Brahmadaitya Tarana, like Dina Tarani, one name of Durga. Brahmadaitya Tarana, Goranga Jai Jai, Karuna Sagar Prabhu Parama Sadai. O Goranga, you are an ocean of mercy and the most compassionate. They were, of course, Jagai Madai were born as Brahmins, but they became, Vrindavan Das Thakur said they were daityas, they were demons, because of their guna and karma, their activities and their qualities. As Krishna is telling in Gita, one judge a man by his qualities. Chaturvarnya maya shristam guna karma vibhagashaha. The position and identity of an individual is primarily decided by his qualities and his activities, guna and karma, not by his janam. Although janam can have a strong influence and create a positive foundation to develop exalted qualities and activities, but if one pursues the demoniac path, then all of his glorious birth gets washed off. And he born a Brahmin and called a demon. So he's saying they were Brahmadaityas. In other places, later, they, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, they became Parama Vaishnavas. Sahasra Karuna Sindhu Mahakripa Mai Dosha Nahi Deki Prabhu Guna Matralai. The Supreme Lord's mercy is as vast as 1,000 oceans. Sahasra Karuna Sindhu Maha Kripa Moy. He sees the good qualities of others and never finds fault in them. Dosha Nahi Deki Prabhu Guna Matra Lai. Now that's the vision of the Lord, like the Father, like the Son. So the Lord is the ideal devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show how to do man mana vapamad bhakti madhyajimanamaskuru. Krishna is telling Gita that you should think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and serve me, and be humble before me. So that's nice teaching in the Gita, man mana vapamad bhakti madhyajimanamaskuru. But then, how to do it practically? Then Krishna said, oh, they're not getting the message. He waited. He gave the message. He gave the upadesh. Then he waited for 4,000 years, 5,000 years. Say, these people are learning. They're very slow learners. These people, I'm the teacher. I gave them the teachings. The Krishna upadesh. But no one's picking up my message. No one's thinking of me. No one's becoming humble. No one's becoming my devotee. No one's serving the devotees. I guess I will just have to go down and take the student's hand and show him how to write A, B, C, D on the piece of paper. As a teacher often does, he takes the child's hand and he says, you form the letter A, go up and down and go across. In English, the Arabic alphabet, A, B, C. So is a teacher learning how to write A, B, C? No. He's holding the hand of the student, the child, and he's showing him, this is how you do it. So Krishna, out of his divine unlimited compassion, as it says, Sahasra Karuna, what is it? It says, Sahasra Karuna Sindhu, Kripa Moy, Maha Kripa Moy. He has so much compassion that Krishna Bhagavan came down and said, oh, you're not getting my teachings? I'll show you. Seeing is believing. So he came down and acted as a devotee. He was always thinking of Krishna. He was always serving the Vaishnavas. He was always worshipping Krishna and always offering obeisance to all the Vaishnavas and always offering obeisance, Namaskaru. So we say, this is how you do it. This is how you be a devotee. Oh, now I have your message. Now I understand your message. It took me 5,000 years to learn the lesson. You gave the lesson 5,000 years ago as Krishna. Now you had to come back 5,000 years later to show us how to implement it, how to do it. So this is what's saying there. that. So this, he's also showing, this is another thing that devotee, this is about the abhimana mentality of devotee. He sees the good qualities of others, never finds fault in them. Dosha nahi deki prabhu. So that let's say, representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's closest at hand, is his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. He never saw the fault in others. He was an emissary of Gauranga, an agent of divine love. And he encouraged everyone. That was his beautiful quality as the perfect devotee, the ideal devotee, who walked amongst us. He sat with us. He talked with us. He washed floors. When I was interviewing Ganga Mai Dasi, and she was washing a floor in London, she came out with a balti and she was cleaning Prabhupada's floor, and he was sitting at his desk. He said, "You don't know how to do this." Then Prabhupada got up from his translation, went over, took the rag, and she was, "No, no, stop. No, I'll show you." The Prabhupada takes the rag, puts it in, folds it up in folds it neatly like this. Yes, you do like this. And then you put it in, use one section, then you fold it over another section. Then you take those two, this rag is like this. So you wipe the first safskia this side, then flip side. So now these two sides are dirty. Now you fold it like this, and you get two more sides. So Prabhupada taught how to wash the floor. Is that not showing how to do humble service in the correct way? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was folding the devotees' clothes and washing their clothes and carrying their puja baskets to the Ganga and picking flowers for them to do puja. So this is how an ideal devotee thinks. He does dosha nahi deki nahi. He doesn't see the faults in others. He only sees the good, and he amplifies that and he enhances it and he makes it grow. There's something good in you, let's make it grow. I see a seedling. I see a seedling sprouting in the soil of your heart. So why should I step on it? Seedling means baby plant, you know, seedling. Just popping out of the ground, it's called seedling. Like a sprout and a seedling. Should I step on it? Is that positive? Or should I put a little water on it, sprinkle some water? A little bit, gentle, a few drops. So the plant can drink and grow. That was Prabhupada's ability. The tiniest, tenderest, smallest creeper of devotion, he made it grow and grow and grow by his love, by his care, by his well wishes. So this verse is telling us this. May we see this coming out of Lord Chaitanya and Vrindavan Das Thakur, and we say, oh, this is such a wonderful quality. Dosha nahi deki, Prabhu. Guna matrilai. He sees the good qualities of others and never finds fault in them. As they say, every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. Okay, I'm a sinner, I'm fallen. Okay, I'm in the hospital, but I'm here, I'm in the hospital. I'm taking the medicine, give me a chance. Encourage me. Direct me. Don't pull out my drip. You know, I'm on the drip, you know, the glucose, and I'm trying to get better. Hey, what is this? Hey, don't kill me, but make me grow. So this is, see the good qualities and help each other grow. So this is the end of the class today. And the chapter is almost over, and tomorrow, by the Lord's mercy, we'll start the chapter on Yamaraja's Sankirtan party.